So sometimes in life, we need to be a little emboldened. So in 1879, Catholicism began spreading in Uganda when the White Fathers, a congregation of priests named for the color of their robes, were peacefully received by the King of Uganda. Now the priests soon began preparing catechumens for baptism. And before long, a number of the young pages, right, the young boys in the king's court, had become Catholics. However, on the death of the king, his son Mwanga, a corrupt and broken man who engaged in homosexual actions with the younger boys in his court, took the throne. Now the chief page, 25-year-old Charles Lwanga, forcibly protected the younger boys from the king's advances. He would meanwhile secretly teach the boys about the Catholic faith. After some time, King Mwanga learned that one of the boys was learning catechism. He was furious, and he ordered all the pages to be questioned to separate the Christians from the others. The Christians, 15 in all under the age of 30, stepped forward. The king asked them if they were willing to keep their faith. They answered in unison, "Until death." Consequently, they were bound together and taken on a 2-day walk where, when they reached their destination, they would be put to death. On June 3rd, 1886, the Feast of the Ascension, Charles Lwanga was separated from the others and burned at the stake for being their leader. The executioners slowly burnt his feet until only the charred remained. Still alive, they promised him that they would let him go if he but renounced his Catholic faith. He refused, saying, "You are burning me, but it is as if you are pouring water over my body." He then continued to pray silently as they set him on fire. His companions were all burned together the same day, all the while praying and singing hymns until they died. The White Fathers were then expelled from the country by the king, but the new Christians secretly carried on their work, translating and printing the catechism into their native language and giving secret instruction on the Catholic faith. Even without priests, liturgy, and sacraments, their faith, intelligence, courage, and wisdom kept the Catholic Church alive and growing in Uganda. When the White Fathers returned after King Mwanga's death some years later, they found 500 Christians and 1,000 catechumens waiting for them. Now, what had enabled these Christians to remain so faithful to the moral teachings of the Church against the immoral actions of the king? What had made them so ready to give their lives for Christ? It was the Holy Spirit within them. By the grace of the Spirit, they had been emboldened to speak up in defense of their Catholic faith. Out of love for Christ, they had to speak up. Now today we finally celebrate the solemnity of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and Our Lady. Pentecost, below Easter and Christmas, ranks among the greatest feasts of Christianity. It commemorates not only the descent of the Holy Spirit, but also the fruits and effects of that event. The completion of the work of redemption, the fullness of grace for the church and her children, and the gift of faith for all nations. All right, so 50 days ago, the apostles were all gathered together in the upper room. It's Holy Thursday. Christ washed their feet and instructed them about what true service means. He gave them his body and blood for the first time. He ordained them priests so that through them, he could give us that same body and blood. But what then happened when they left the room? They all went out and abandoned our Lord. Goodbye, right after Mass, right after receiving the Lord Jesus within, right after their priestly ordination. Judas sold our Lord, valuing him less than 30 pieces of silver. All 11 apostles ran away from the garden terrified. St. Peter, the head, for whom the Lord had prayed personally to stand strong, denied even knowing Christ. All but St. John were still hiding the next day as Christ was being tortured and killed upon the cross. Now, Christ had prepared them for 3 years It was their seminary formation, per se. He prepared them about what would happen to him and what they were called to do. But even after all that, none of that preparation, none of our Lord's prayers had sufficed to keep them faithful. So at the time of today's gospel, the city of Jerusalem was packed because of all the pilgrims who had come to observe the Jewish feast of Pentecost. The apostles were all gathered together again in the upper room. A violent wind was suddenly heard, which startled the crowds in the city. Tongues of fire then descended upon the disciples, and the Holy Spirit took hold of them. Though the church's origin ultimately came from Christ's death on the cross, it is at this moment, at Pentecost, that the church manifested herself to the world for the first time. The disciples were now, through the grace of the Spirit, strengthened to be witnesses of Christ and his teachings to the ends of the earth. They lost their fear. They were to unite the world in one faith, the Catholic faith. I mean, after all, the church was to be universal, expanding beyond all language and social barriers. Yet she could not have evangelized all nations without the gift of the Spirit, which strengthened the disciples to be witnesses to the gospel in every given situation. The grace of the Spirit that the disciples received on Pentecost 2,000 years ago was not supposed to be a one-time event, however. Every follower of Christ is meant to have the Holy Spirit dwell within him or her. At our own baptisms, we received the Spirit for the first time when our sins were forgiven and we became adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. But it was at our confirmation that we received the Holy Spirit in a unique way, as the disciples did at Pentecost. Just like the disciples in the upper room, at our confirmation, the Holy Spirit endowed us with special strength so that we are more strictly obliged to spread and defend the faith, both by word and by deed, as true witnesses of Christ. Though we might not be able to speak in different languages, as the first disciples did, at our confirmation, our souls were marked, and we were configured more closely to Christ, so we may be his witness to all that we meet. With the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are now able to boldly confess the name of Christ against all odds, just like those first disciples. Now, you know, in our modern times, Catholics have a bad rep for evangelization. Gone are the days of the great Jesuit missionaries that we only see glimpses of in such movies as The Mission or Silence. Seemingly gone are the days of the White Fathers from the 1800s. But if we have been confirmed, we have the grace to be able to defend and teach the faith. And not only defend and teach it, but defend and teach it boldly. Pope St. John Paul II once said, "Man is incapable of understanding himself fully without Christ. He cannot understand who he is, nor what his true dignity is, nor what his vocation is, nor what his final end is. He cannot understand any of this without Christ." But it's up to us to bring Christ to humanity. But we are to do it in everyday small ways. So for example, parents. Parents have the duty to defend and teach the faith to their children, even when it's difficult. I mean, I've told you stories before. If I dared to skip Mass as a rebellious teenager in my house, and mind you, right, true confession, I only skipped Mass once when I was living under my parents' roof. My mom gave me the riot act and drove me to confession that week. Now, I remember my sister, I'm going to throw her under the bus now, when she was going through her rebellious teenage years, she would get in fights frequently with my parents before Mass because she'd want to wear some clothes that my mom thought were inappropriate for church. You can guess who tended to win that battle. You see, we lived and breathed Catholicism in our house, albeit imperfectly. Right, my parents were loving, but if you were living under our roof, you were going to live as a Catholic. Another example could be at your specific jobs during the week. You know, if you build a relationship with your coworkers and they see that you're living your faith, because how could they not? You can invite them, you know, to come to Mass with you sometime when they're going through tough times. It's interesting. People who do not seek to know God or want anything to do with Him tend to be so open to Him when they are suffering. They recognize innately there has to be more to this life than their suffering. Now, for many reasons, many people don't like to talk about their religion publicly or the importance of their faith. But if it comes up in conversation at work or at school, as we all know, it always eventually does, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about why we are Christians. With the grace of the Holy Spirit within you, you have the strength to not only do so, but to do it with confidence, so long as you are willing. And that's the kicker. You must be willing to work with the promptings of the Holy Spirit within us. The sacrament of confirmation does not automatically make us bold witnesses. For the Lord will not give us the strength to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to the world unless we're willing to do so and cooperate with those graces. He's not going to force us. So the next time you're put in a situation in which you are called to talk about or defend the faith to someone, do not be afraid. Simply ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. And if you've been confirmed, then you have a unique grace to be able to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. It's a simple prayer, but it's a prayer I use every day when in situations that I need His help. We have been emboldened by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to Christ. So if we have friends or family who have not attended Mass for a while, we should not be afraid to gently and prudently reach out and invite them back. If we are pushed at a family dinner to defend the faith, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to defend the church when she is mocked in conversation. The church is always worth defending. Every soul counts. The Holy Spirit will guide us. He'll give us the words necessary. We just have to be willing. Salvation is at stake. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. And it was on the day at Pentecost that the Father and the Son first sent us this great gift, which we ourselves received when we received the sacrament of confirmation. Christ asks us, through the grace of the Spirit, to be bold defenders and teachers of His one true faith, so that He may reach everyone in the world. Just as Saint Charles Lwanga and the young pages were emboldened by the Holy Spirit to defend the faith until death, so too will the Spirit guide us and help us. And so the same question that the apostles had to grapple with still remains. Are we willing to do so? Amen.